Now let's look at the women's Ivy game of the week, Harvard at Dartmouth. And we have the dean of Ivy women's hoops, Kathy Delaney-Smith, with us. Over 550 wins, over 330 Ivy wins, 11 Ivy titles. Kathy, we thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Kathy, just having, you know, decades of history in the league, can you tell us how, like, the women's, on the women's side, the Ivy League is ranked, I think last time I checked, 9th RPI. I mean, it's a top 10 conference, and I'd have to believe when you first got there, it was nowhere close to that. Can you talk about the rise, if you think that there's kind of a reason for that and why it's now kind of a nationally known league?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I can guess at the reasons of it. But I have always felt, starting with Dartmouth at the top and Harvard, back in the 80s and whatever, our top teams were always this high, to be honest. And I don't know if the RPIs were a little bit different, and I can't say whether, you know, anyone busted into the top 25. Probably not. But from my perspective, Dartmouth, the best teams over time at Dartmouth, the best teams over time at Harvard. And then periodically, you know, when Brown won the title and when others won the title, the top team or two were as strong as they are now. There's not a lot of difference, to be perfectly honest, regardless of where I think the strength is, you know, with new and young coaches coming into the league. I think it's all about recruiting and pounding the pavement and having a passion for your job. And when I look across the league, and I'm only speaking about the women right now, but we have some of the best coaches in the country, and it's because there's a passion and because there's, you know, professionalism, and, you know, I don't think any of us take a day off. So, you know, that's going to pay off. And I think that's what we're experiencing.
And do you find, I guess, you know, coming from, I used to coach at a scholarship school. Do you find not being able to provide that, is that a reason that you may lose recruits?
Jill.
I mean, the education, no, though, is like the long-term plan. The, you know, the scholarship's only for 4 years, whether you get an education or not. But
I know. It's true. I
would just think at like a Harvard, obviously Harvard has the name.
Right.
And I'm just curious, you know, if Harvard does struggle with the recruiting.
Yes. And the answer is yes, we all do. To be honest, like I remember, and the coach is no longer in the league, but I won't name her, but she was a new Ivy League coach, and she had been at a fairly high Division I college in the Midwest, and she got a head job in the Ivy League, and she called me, and she said she asked a million questions about the Ivy League because no one understands it till you get in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, Kathy, where in a recruit phone call do you tell them there are no scholarships? And I mean, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Where, at what point? Timing is everything. And, you know, it's very hard to have families understand, you know, you're weighing a future with, you're not paying for college. And some of the good schools, they know how to use that against us for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, and it's okay when the family is, you know, their package is big. So that's not a factor. We can win those. And if the family's rich, we can often win those, but not always. It's in the middle where it's gray. And, you know, think about it. We want you to pay $28,000 or you can come free. Like,
right.
It's very challenging. It's very challenging. Even though what every Ivy League school offers is your future, for sure.
And just staying with the recruiting, is there a team in the Ivy League that you see you go head-to-head with recruits more so than the others?
You know what? It's funny. It changes. It's changed over the years. You know, it's whoever wins the title you go against. I feel blessed because even when we don't win the title, we're in the race. You know, because I think Harvard, you know, impacts. So it's harder. It's harder for us that we haven't won a title in a number of years. And so if it's Penn, then believe it or not, we go against Penn, even though the two schools are different. And if it's Princeton, you know, we go against Princeton. You know, we even battled Dartmouth back in the years when Harvard and Dartmouth dominated the league for probably more than any other school in the Ivy Conference. But we didn't. Dartmouth is so different than Harvard. We would have a handful of mutual recruits, but honestly, they would choose the school that either won the title or was more suited to them geographically.
All right. Well, and I know you mentioned you haven't won a title, but I need to let the listeners know that you finished in the top three the past 14 years and the top four 32 out of 35 seasons. So you must be doing something right, Kathy.
Jill, thank you. I'm sending the checks in the mail for you.
But that's got to be something that I'm curious about, again, as a former coach, and just how the evolution of the player and how the student athlete has changed. And I'm curious if your coaching style has changed, or if you are coaching the same way that you coached, all those years ago, or have you kind of changed with the times of the quote unquote millennials?
Yeah, emphatically, I have changed because, and as I look at around the country and in the conference, if you don't change, you can't be successful, in my opinion. I think the most successful coaches are the coaches that change. Because the student athlete is dramatically different. However, that being said, I have some non-negotiables like that have not changed. And I've been coaching 47 years. And so there's a certain set of non-negotiables that have not changed. But I feel that the millennial student athlete, I think the student athlete that we're coaching is so much different than 10, 15, 20 years ago. Better in many, many ways, and then more challenging in other ways, for sure.
Kathy Delaney-Smith joining us here on the podcast. And, Coach, looking ahead to this weekend, Dartmouth, Harvard, as we know, and as you've mentioned here, the rivalry goes back many years. And these have been great games over the last 5 years that I've been covering this matchup here. Just looking ahead and what are some of the keys, some of the takeaways that you're stressing here this week in practice and traveling up to Hanover and opening up Ivy League play against the Big Green?
Yeah, I can't shed the fact that Dartmouth over all 36 years, if you would say who's your arch rival, I almost instinctually say Dartmouth. Although lately it hasn't been the case, but as you mentioned, our games have been phenomenal. You know, and I think Bell's doing a great job. There won't be a better prepared team in the league than Dartmouth facing us this Saturday, you know, and I know that. So, and I believe the league is very strong, and I think Dartmouth has had a tremendous non-conference run. And so I expect it to be a dogfight for sure. My style of coaching is that we really work on us. I don't overemphasize our opponents, to be honest. I think we have enough ability and depth and talent to, if we can play our game, then we will be putting ourselves in a good position to be able to win.
And Kathy, both teams, you know, you're trending in the upwards direction coming off of two wins, and Dartmouth is kind of trending down coming in with back-to-back losses. And a stat that stood out is in your win versus Akron, you had 57 rebounds, and you've had three games with over 50-plus rebounds. I'm assuming that's something that you practice every day and that is harped on, and that's kind of some type of identity of the team you have this year?
Well, I would like to say yes, and I would like to take credit for that, but I'm going to be honest.
We're all about honesty here.
Podcast,
yes,
right?
Yes. We're in the trust tree here.
I'm happy with that rebounding statistic. And it's the irony is we lost an Ivy League title because Dartmouth, and I don't even know when it was, but years ago, several years ago, we lost an Ivy League title because in the last game of the year, Dartmouth out-rebounded us something like 54-28. And that has never left me. That has never left me. And I honestly have been on a mission to talking with every coach. When I sit down recruiting, I'll say, how do you teach rebounding? What do you do? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm amazed at how not very many people do anything. That's the truth of the matter. You know, I think there's a philosophy that if you have rebounders, they instinctually rebound. And if you don't, then you should probably throw in a bunch of drills. So nice. I would like to take credit. I have some kids who have a nose for the ball, truly.
That's great. And Kathy, just looking at, you know, the Ivy League as a whole this year, you know, your preseason picked third, you had Penn picked first, Princeton picked second. You know, and right now it looks like Brown is going to be up there as well. Do you have, just in your opinion, how it's going to pan out? Do you think that any team can beat anybody this year? Is there going to kind of be the haves and have-nots?
No, there's not going to be the haves and have-nots. I would think it will be very difficult for anyone in the league to run the gamut. I think there are going to be so many challenges across the board, to be honest with you. And I don't put a lot of credence in those polls because I don't even like how they're done. Am I supposed to say that on this podcast? But I don't. And so it's very obvious year in and year out, they pick exactly the order of how we finished. With it never changes. And I don't, and you know, and we, there's graduation and there's injuries and there's this and there's that. So those polls mean absolutely nothing to me. Non-conference play, I think, is an indicator, but not really, because strength of schedule and injuries and a whole bunch of other variables always play into it. And there is nothing like the rivalry of women's basketball in the Ivy League. Nothing like it. And I hired my associate head coach, Mike Rue, came into the league, and he was very successful at University of New Hampshire and America East, and he was shocked when he experienced Ivy League competition. He never saw anything like it. He said, "We don't have this in the American East. It's just very special. It's very fun to play against each other and have the rivalries that we have."
That's,
you know,
great.
Like other conferences have a rivalry or two, but top to bottom, anyone can beat anyone in women's Ivy League basketball, and that's more true now than ever this year.
No, and that's something that you had said, just not many people knowing how special the league it is, and that's kind of what gave Brett and I this idea. Like, let's do a podcast so people can get to know these, you know, really outstanding coaches in this league and get them to know more about the league, you know, to get to know about the league a little bit more. So we appreciate you taking the time. Describe yourself in one word.
Passionate.
How would your team describe yourself in one word?
Crazy.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Bad airplane manners.
Favorite pizza topping?
Barbecue chicken.
Last song you listened to?
George Ezra, Budapest.
Favorite Netflix show?
Oh, I just, Outlanders is not on there, is it? I just watched, the last one I watched was The Code. It wasn't my favorite. Can I think about it?
No, that's good. That's a good review to not watch The Code. Got it.
Okay, good. Yep.
You survived. See, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
Kathy Delaney-Smith, head coach of Harvard, joining us here on the podcast. They'll be taking on Dartmouth this Saturday, 5 o'clock in Hanover. Coach, appreciate the time. It was fun.
Okay, great.
Big thank you to Kathy Delaney-Smith.